Okay, if I can have your undivided attention, let your attention not be divided among other things. Don't divide your attention. A little bit here, a little over here, out the window, little children, birds outside. Focus and concentrate on the Word of God is really the highest form of worship. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And that Logos is the spoken, revealed testimony of His name, His character, and His works. So when you and I raise our attention to Christ through His Word, we are entering into the highest form of worship, the highest act of worship we can have as believers. Everybody understand that? So your undivided attention is really a great way this morning of pleasing God. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 7, we're going to read these verses. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. This is important. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it shall be opened. God, we look to you this morning as you open up these scriptures to our minds, and as we are literally looking to you, Father, to teach us today through your Spirit and the Word of God. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Three very specific conditions are laid out here. Ask, seek, knock. Ask, seek, knock. That's the first thing I want to say. Three very distinct conditions. Ask, seek, knock. Number two, these three conditions are not separated by periods, but by semicolons in the translations, and actually very well translated that way. And the reason that they're separated by semicolons and not by periods is because the three conditions are closely interconnected. I thirdly want to say that this first group of ask, seek, and knock is in the imperfect imperative. And that's very, very important. And I'll explain what that is shortly. Ask, seek, knock. Three different aspects of the believer's prayer life. Ask, seek, knock. Ask, seek, and knock. But all three are very connected in a progressive way, in a progressive manner. We're going to talk about this a little bit today, and this is very important, and this is something you may not have heard before, so I really want you to pay attention today. First, we normally ask, don't we? That's usually the first thing we do is we ask. And frankly, if we always received what we've asked immediately, why? What's the seeking and knocking all about? If we always get exactly what we ask when we ask it, we would never seek and we would never knock. This leads us to why we believe, and this leads us to the imperfect imperative, which means, and I'll just say very in the simplest terms possible, okay? You may want to ask and keep asking. You may want to seek and keep seeking, and you're going to want to knock and keep on knocking. Ask and keep asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. So keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and it'll be open. That's how this should be viewed. So we ask, or we keep on asking, right? And if the answer doesn't come, here's a couple reactions that people have, okay? Prayer doesn't work. I'm praying, and God's not hearing me. That's kind of arrogant. isn't it? That's a little bit arrogant. That's a little problem. I'm asking, but God is not. So God is not true to His word, because I've asked, and He hasn't answered. Well, the problem with that is, the three actions being talked about here are closely interconnected, and in many cases, the same thing, with a different twist, a little bit of a different aspect of the same thing. Second reaction you may hear is, well, I don't have enough faith. Apparently, I don't have enough faith. God's not answering my prayers. Maybe God doesn't love me. Maybe I don't deserve to have this prayer answered. These are typical reactions, right? I remember I was going through a season of something maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and I just kept picturing the devil just put this thing in my mind. It was so demonic. It's like, I'm in my own front yard getting beat up by the devil, and my father's in the house looking out the window and not doing a thing about it. And I remember thinking that was such a powerful lie from hell. So I'm asking, and I'm asking, and I'm asking, and I'm not getting an answer. The first thing I need to do is think humbly. Okay. Like in James chapter 4, verse 2. I want you to turn there. James 4, verse 2. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You war and fight, yet you do not have because you do not ask. So does it stop there? Does the thought stop there? No. You ask and do not receive because you ask, say it, amiss. What do you think it means to ask amiss? Well, look at the next phrase. That you may spend it on your pleasures. Look at that. So here I'm asking and I'm asking and I'm asking and I'm asking, but my motive is wrong. And so God says, hold that thought. Interesting, isn't it? Acts chapter 17. Paul is talking to these dear people who they've worshipped the unknown God, and he says, therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you, God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives life to all, or gives all to, gives to all life, breath and all things, and he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. This is very powerful. Now watch the next thing. So that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they may grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. So here the thought is, God has orchestrated in his sovereign plan things that cause people to do what? Seek him. One of the things that causes me to seek the Lord is when I ask and keep asking and I don't get an answer. So now I go to the next phase of asking, seeking, and knocking. Do you understand so far? It's not that God doesn't love you or God isn't hearing you. God is allowing, God is not answering the way you think the answer should be given in any particular case, so that I move to the next phase. But most believers don't do that. Many believers ask and ask and ask, and then they quit. And that's why Jesus gave that illustration and said, just like that unjust judge would answer the widow, why are you giving up? And he's not saying that you're to ask. What is implied here is that once you ask, use your brain for a minute. If you're not getting an answer, maybe you should start seeking why. Hello? Do you hear me? Are you listening? Right? How many follow this so far? So now I'm going to move to the next phase. I've been asking like crazy. Lord, I'm asking like crazy. And the Lord kind of says, you are crazy. That's the problem. We want to fix the crazy, the lust, the mixed motives. And frankly, to be conformed to his image is the highest end that could be achieved. Right? So God often causes us to seek and keep on seeking. So remember the imperfect imperative? Ask and keep on asking, then seek and keep on seeking. Now I'm going to start seeking. Seeking is an amazing thing. Matthew 6:33 says, first, I seek the kingdom and his righteousness. Isn't that interesting? Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness and all these things you've been asking for, right? Seek first the kingdom. First, the kingdom. And what I think, frankly, seeking first the kingdom really is seeking what glorifies God, really trying to discover what the King of Kings would want me to be like and would want me to do and have in his world. This, I love that song. I was thinking about it this week. This is my Father's world. As Paul said to these dear people in Acts chapter 17, he who made the world and everything in it and gives life to everything. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What is righteous and what is good before God? So, Lord, I'm asking God for a particular career or asking God about a spouse or asking God to make transitions, asking God to help me with my health. I'm asking God, and it's kind of a pause. Now I start seeking God. Now I start seeking his kingdom, his righteousness. You follow? Micah 6:8 says, he has shown me. Oh man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you? To do justly, love mercy, walk humbly. To do justly. First, God, am I doing justly? Now I'm going to start this self-examination. Because frankly, you can't seek God without self-examination. Seeking requires some self-examination. And many times, I'm going to find there's going to be a need for repentance. Metanoia, a change of mind. And I don't think that repentance is possible without counseling. I've been thinking about it more and more. I can have sorrow, but that's not repentance. I can have a desire to change, but that's not repentance. It's not until I get the encouragement from the Word of God, usually from an outside source, that I'm able to change my mind on something. That's where that word, you've heard us say, use the phrase, nephetic counseling. That comes from that word, nuos, which is the root word in repentance. Metanoia, change of mind, adjusting the thoughts, renewing the mind. This is why it says in James, confess your faults to one another. You're going to need the counsel to repent. You're going to need the encouragement of a friend to come alongside you and help you make a transition. So self-examination resulting in repentance and getting counsel from friends, from my pastor, from a counselor, from the Word of God, I'm going to get counsel. Now I'm really seeking God. Now, this is serious business. I keep on asking, and I keep on seeking. I don't stop. I keep on seeking. I'm seeking the kingdom. I'm asking God, am I doing justly? Am I loving mercy? Maybe there's a level of unforgiveness or bitterness in my heart towards somebody. And thirdly, am I walking humbly? Do you walk humbly? Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you walk humbly with people around you? Are you walking humbly? Are you receiving and listening? Or do you feel you need to be the smartest person in the room all the time, whether there's anybody else there or not? Are you walking humbly, doing justly, loving mercy, love giving mercy, love seeing mercy, rejoicing when someone gets mercy, you're happy about it? Or are you miserable, bitter, unforgiving, and arrogant? Because I'm gonna say right now, I'm going to do a lot of asking and not getting a lot of answers unless I start seeking God and finding out why. So I'm seeking. You know what it says in Hebrews 11, right? Look at Hebrews 11, 6. It's a great verse. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is and is a rewarder. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Diligently seek Him. Diligently seek Him. What do they do? How do they seek Him? Diligently. They keep on seeking Him. They seek Him, then they seek Him some more, and then they seek God again. And so you read the first part of that verse, without faith it is impossible to please God. Faith that comes by hearing God's word. And I'm hearing from the Word of God today that I need to continuously seek Him. It is not faith for me to ask and ask and ask and ask, and then when the answer doesn't come, to not seek. Why? Because I've been told He's going to answer me. But He's not going to necessarily answer me without the seeking, knocking, and find, and seeking, without the asking, seeking, and knocking. How many understand that this morning? See, they're all connected. This is all connected. To ask and not seek is to assume so much about yourself. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Yes, diligently seek Him. Psalm 105, verse 4, there are three interesting Hebrew words for seeking. We like the richness of the Koine Greek, love to see Greek words. Hebrew words are fun also. Here it says in verse 105, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek the Lord and His strength. Hebrew word daras, D-A-R-A-S, daras. This word means to resort and to inquire. Look at that. Resort and inquire. This means I have a need, I must resort to Him. I must resort to Him. Everybody understand that? How many follow that? I have a need, I must resort to Him, and the word also means to inquire. Seek the Lord and His strength. Daras, beautiful word. It also means to consult with. Daras, another meaning for the word. Psalm 111, verse 2. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. Same words, the word for studied there, daras. Beautiful. Means to consult with. Psalm 77, verse 2. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. In the day of my trouble, I resorted to the Lord, I inquired of the Lord, and I consulted with the Lord. In the day of your trouble, yes, ask. Ask. But many times we ask because we're kind of shifting responsibility to God for things. I know that many people who have addictions often pray to be delivered, and God does not deliver them from those addictions. I'll tell you why I believe that to be the case. Because if most people were immediately delivered from addictions, they wouldn't understand consequences. They wouldn't understand the depth of the damage they've done to people's lives. It would be an immediate relief, and then it's over. As was said today, there'd be no reason to change. We just pray and I'm delivered. Just pray, I'm delivered. Just pray, I'm delivered. And the amazing uncertainty, as was mentioned earlier today, Sunday school, great class, by the way. The uncertainty of if all of our prayers were always immediately answered. Oh, Lord, heal that person. Boom, they're healed. Heal that person's cancer. Boom, they're healed. Heal this drop. Oh, boom, they're healed. With no seeking and knocking, what would we learn? What would we find? What would we discover about God? Zero. He would become a ginormous cosmic Santa Claus. That's all he'd be. Some big genie in the sky. We go rub the three times, ask, 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 and then we get what we want. Daras, consult with. What a beautiful thing that God would have us want, that God would want us to consult with him. So you're asking, God says, I wish you'd just come and consult with me about this. We're asking, asking, asking. God's like, oh. He's not frustrated, but imagine just his patient waiting for us to seek. If you seek me, you'll find me. Would you rather get the thing you're asking for or find the one you're asking? You know, if we ask, the Bible doesn't say if we ask, we'll get him. If we seek, we find him. Understand what I mean? Seeking and finding him. Ah, there you are in the middle of this thing. But I still may have the issue. So now I have to knock. Then the knocking begins. But the seeking is amazing. Another word for seeking is bakash. Jeremiah 29. Love these Greek words, these Hebrew words. Bakash. Jeremiah 29. In a letter from Jeremiah during the Babylonian captivity of Nebuchadnezzar, Jeremiah writes to the Jews, and he says in verse 11, this is God speaking, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end, or to give you a future and a hope. And God premises the next phrase with that. He says, I don't think evil of you. I've got a great plan to give you an expected end, to give you a great future and hope. Then you will call on me and go and pray, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me. Do you see it? You're going to call on him. You're going to ask. You're going to ask again. You're going to ask again, and you're going to keep asking. But you're not going to lose hope. You're not going to lose faith. You're not going to give up. Well, God's forsaken me. God doesn't hear me. Of course God hears you. Of course God's listening. Of course God knows. You've got his attention. You're his child. 1 John 3, my beloved, what manner of love the Father has given unto us that we should be called the children of God. Of course God hears you. Now you seek him because the answer didn't come the way you expected. Now you're seeking. See what the cause is? God just moves you to seeking. That word bakash is simple. It just means you simply look for him. You just simply look without any complication. Lord, where are you? Show me. What a prayer that is. Show me. There's a beautiful poem that is put to music by Phil Kagi. It's called Once I Prayed. And he said, I prayed, and the answer didn't come. And I'm paraphrasing the entire, butchering it. But in the end, he said, and then I prayed. Show me you. Show me yourself. Then I saw my own wickedness, my own evil, and my heart rejoiced because I found something about your grace. All because I didn't get the immediate answer to a prayer. And I sought him. Faith means and is, after I've asked, I keep seeking. I keep asking, and then I keep seeking. I don't give up. See, faith doesn't quit. You ask, now you start seeking. And you're serious about the seeking. Psalm 63. God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. There's that word again, bakash. No, this is a different word. I'm sorry. This is shakar. Shakar, S-H-A-W-K-A-R. And this means diligently search or diligently seek. Early I will diligently seek for you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you, same word again, in the sanctuary, to see your power and your glory. Proverbs 8:17. I love those who love me. And those who seek me diligently will find me. What a great promise that is. Sometimes it feels like God's playing hide and seek a little bit. You're looking in the wrong place if you can't find him. He's there. He is. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we... In Psalm 42, excuse me. As the deer pants for the water, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night. Why they continually say to me, where is your God? See, here is the deer panting for the water. Because he thirsts, he seeks. Because we thirst, we see. Thirsting is a mechanism for seeking here. No, we're not totally satisfied. No, we're not all of our prayers completely answered exactly. No. And I'm so grateful that God hasn't answered all my prayers. I am. I'd be in the wrong country, doing the wrong thing with the wrong woman. I guarantee it. Right? That was meant to be a joke. You can smile. We'd be in a, and maybe it's not a joke. Maybe it's absolutely true. I know I'd be in the wrong country. I'm sure I'd be doing the wrong thing. Probably with the wrong people. So we seek and we seek and we keep seeking, and now we keep knocking. You ever notice when you go to a house, when you knock on a door, how many of you go like this? You walk up there and you go. What do you do when you knock? Right? Knock, keep knocking. That's how you knock. You knock with a level of boldness, don't you? That's why I hate door knockers, especially the big ones. You can't do. I like the wood. You know what I can't stand is when you walk up to a house and you got to see somebody, and there's a porch with a double door, and it's locked, and in the house there's no doorbell. How rude! If you're one of those people, get a doorbell. Get one of the, if you're afraid, get one with a camera on it. They got those now. But we keep knocking. It's never just one thump, right? And this is part of the self-examination stage too. Go back to James chapter 4. James was an amazing guy. He actually solved the problem between the Jews and the Gentile believers in the book of Acts. What an amazing man he was. James, incredible guy. Chapter 4, and we start in verse 3. Ask, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think the scriptures are in vain, saying the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Here's the knocking now. Ready? Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God. Also the body, by the way. And he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. That's the knocking. Knocking is a number of things. Now, Lord, I'm going to seek you. I'm going to resist the devil. I'm going to look for answers. I'm going to use my mind. I'm going to cleanse my hands if there's some known sin I need to repent of. Right? I'm going to draw near. And by the way, draw near to God. You can't draw near to God without being part of a church. I'm going to draw near to God. Purify your heart, you double-minded. Go back to James 2. James 2, 5 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally, without reproach or without holding back, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubt. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded and unstable in all his ways. So I ask and I ask and I keep asking and then I quit. I'm double-minded. I ask and I ask and I ask, but my mind gets filled with doubt. Doubt about God's love. Doubt about God's presence. Doubt about God's promises. Doubt about God's friendship. Doubt about my position in Christ. Doubt about my forgiveness. Doubt about the blood. Doubt about God's history. Doubt about God's faithfulness. The heart gets filled with doubt. And then I'm tossed all over the place. The devil starts blowing his winds as the prince and power of the air. When he starts talking, the wind starts blowing. And now I'm blowing around all over the place like this and that. A double-minded person, and I become unstable in all my ways because I didn't keep asking, I didn't keep seeking, and I didn't keep knocking. I didn't even start knocking. Maybe I didn't even start seeking. I just asked and asked and I asked and I doubted and then I gave up and now I'm all over the place because I'm not seeking God or knocking. We don't pray to earn His favor. And we do not seek or knock to gain God's favor. Gaining God's favor has already been accomplished. You say, when did I gain God's favor? You gained God's full favor 2,000 years ago at Calvary. That's when you gained His favor. You and I became the objects of His love in eternity past, and we gained His grace and favor 2,000 years ago on the cross. So if I'm asking and I'm not receiving, I better start seeking. And then I get serious when I seek Him and I find Him, and then with Him, I start knocking. With Him in mind, with Him in His presence, with Him in His promises, with Him in all His supply, with Him in His counsel, with Him in His word. Now I'm going to get down to brass tacks. The rubber's going to meet the road now, and now I'm going to start drawing near. I'm going to submit to God. Lord, whatever You want, here it is. I'm going to submit myself to You. I'm going to resist the stinking devil. I'm not going to let those lies plague my mind. That's what resisting the devil means. I'm going to cast down vain imaginations and high things that exalt themselves above the knowledge of God. Those doubts, those accusations, all that garbage flying through the air. Resist the devil and he'll back off. He will. I start resisting him and then I draw near to God and I draw near the body. I'm already in Christ. How much nearer to God can I be? What's that mean? It means I'm going to multiply my fellowship. Some of you need to multiply your fellowship. I see you once a week. I never hear that you're visiting anybody. I don't see you fellowship with anybody outside of here. Have lunch, nothing. Step up your fellowship. One of the reasons you're struggling so much is because you're a lone ranger. A lone wolf, a lone sheep is a lamb chop. Lone sheep don't survive. You need the body of Christ. Stop pretending that you don't. Well, tough it out. No, you'll be unstable in all your ways. Knock. Come on. Knock, draw near, knock, cleanse your hands. Cleanse your hands is a big deal. We don't spend any time thinking about our sins at all. Can't possibly be that God's addressing anything in my soul. So we ask and we ask and we say, well, it must not be God wants it. No. I asked three times. Paul asked three times and the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. He gave up. That's not what Paul did. We use that maybe as a reason. But you know, if I ask, I guess it's my own personal stubbornness. When I ask and I don't receive and I don't think something's amiss, I seek. I do, and I get down and dirty about it. I'm almost miserable to be around. I'm seeking so much, I'm almost miserable to be around. Lord, what in the world is going on? Show me God. And I'm going to start digging in the scriptures. I'm going to start praying. I'm going to start seeking God, talking to people. I'll share a little bit with somebody what's going on, get a little counsel. That's all seeking. That's seeking. And it's knocking. How many understand this message this morning? This is critical. Critical. Crucial knowledge has been imparted to you today by the grace of God. Nope, it has nothing to do with me. Crucial knowledge. Act on this message in your prayer life. Step up to seeking and knocking. And the Bible says, if you keep on asking, while you keep on seeking, while you keep on knocking, you'll receive, you'll find, and the door will be opened. God, we thank You for this time today. Pray You bless these few thoughts. They've been delivered, Lord. Now we need to operate in them. It's up to us to be obedient to what we've heard. And we pray, Lord, that we would execute and walk in these things. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.